Well, I'm glad that you're here this morning to worship with us. How many of you worked outside yesterday? It was a beautiful day, wasn't it? Don't get used to that. I'm sure old man Winter's not finished with us yet. But it was a great day. And reminder of the blessings of the Lord in that song, just how he loves us. We're so undeserving of the love that he has for us, aren't we? If you haven't already done so, let's turn to Psalm 133. We're in the next to the last message on a series through the Psalms of Ascent. We'll finish that up next week. Today's passage is a beautiful song about the strength of unity among God's people. It's another one of those psalms that we know David is the author of, but we're not certain of the timing or the background. But in the context that it is sung, going up to Jerusalem for worship, I think it reflects the beautiful sight of the multitudes of people who came from all over Palestine to worship the Lord. We can sort of think of it in this way. Have you ever gone on a road trip with your family? Road trips can be really good. They can be really, really bad also. Now imagine, instead of just your immediate family, if you packed in all your relatives, all your neighbors as well. Anyone to sign up for that trip? Well, that's sort of what was happening with the annual feast in Jerusalem. The people would travel to Jerusalem with their family and other relatives. And as they drew closer to Jerusalem, more and more people would come together, people from different regions and tribes. But they all had one thing in common. They were going to worship the Lord, and that made all the difference. I think we would all agree, if we're going to take a road trip with our family, our relatives, our neighbors, we're going to need some Jesus in the mix, aren't we? And there are few things in this world, in my opinion, that are as beautiful and uplifting as believers living together in unity. Also, there are few things in this world that are as ugly and destructive as believers not living together in unity. Now, I've said many times that I'm so grateful for the unity that we enjoy as a family here at Legacy. I've been to a lot of meetings with different pastors over the years who expressed the struggle of disunity and disharmony in their congregations, and I'm reminded of how blessed we are to have the kind of unity that we enjoy. But I also realize that the enemy is using the infighting, the disunity in today's church to advance his agenda. And sadly, we often don't realize it until it's too late. So I believe it's important that we be reminded of the beauty and strength of walking together in unity. So let's read our text beginning with verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So this passage speaks of three characteristics of living together, walking together in unity. First, it speaks of the goodness of unity. Look at verse 1 again. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. So notice David begins a passage. He uses the word behold, as if to say, marvel at what I'm about to say. This is going to be good. You're going to want to hear it. Then he says that walking together in unity is both good and pleasant. Now the Hebrew word used for good means excellent, agreeable, beneficial. In other words, this is something that is good in God's sight. He has put his stamp of approval on it. The word translated pleasant means beautiful, sweet, lovely. In other words, it's not only good in God's sight, but it's good for us as well. Whether you're a family, a business, a church, a sports team, life is much more pleasant and enjoyable when everyone's getting along, right? And I like the fact that walking in unity is both good and pleasant, because there are some things that are either one or the other, but not both. For example, I suppose that going to the doctor for a physical exam is good for us, but it is rarely pleasant, is it? And eating three bowls of my wife's chicken and dumplings is pleasant to my taste buds, but it's not good for me, says my doctor when I get the physical. So some things are good but not pleasant. Some things are pleasant but not good. But when we're walking in unity, we get the best of both worlds. It is both good and good for us. And because it's good, we know that it comes from God, right? As James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. So that's the first thing we learn about the goodness of living together in unity. It is both good and pleasant. And notice in the middle of the verse, there is a special focus on this unity. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, the people who first received this psalm were literally brothers and sisters. They were relatives of each other, descendants of a common father. Well, as Christians, we're also brothers and sisters, aren't we? We've been adopted into God's family. We have God as our Father, which makes us a family. It's like Eugene Peterson said, no Christian is an only child. I love that quote from him. So the question is, how will we live in the family of God? Will we live in unity or will we live in division? Now, it might come as a surprise to you, but all brothers and sisters don't get along, do they? In fact, there are a lot of examples of that in the Bible. Cain killed his brother Abel. Jacob stole Esau's birthright. Joseph's brother sold him into slavery. Jesus' brothers mocked him. And the reality is that although we're brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't always get along with each other. There's an old poem that goes like this. To live above with saints we love, oh, that will be such glory. To live below with saints we know, well, that's a different story. Brothers and sisters don't always get along, do they? Sometimes we disagree. At times we even get angry with each other. Why is that? Because we're human. Because we're broken. Because we're flesh. We're flawed. So we need to work together to overcome our differences and our weaknesses. And as we've said many times, unity doesn't mean uniformity where we're all the same, does it? Listen, if we were all the same, it could be really boring or really confusing. For example, if we were all like me, it would be boring because I like for things to stay the same. Every Sunday when you come to church, the pulpit is going to be in the same place. And I realize that might be boring to some of you. However, if everyone were like my wife, who likes to change things up a bit, one Sunday the pulpit would be here, the next Sunday it might be over there, the next Sunday over there, the next Sunday at the back of the church. So we don't want uniformity, do we? But we do want, in fact, we need harmony in the midst of our differences. And in spite of our differences, Janie and I have been happily married for 46 years. But we've had to make compromises and sacrifices to have that harmony. When it comes to rearranging furniture in our house, it used to upset me so much, I finally said, just give me a chair with a table, with a lamp, facing the TV. If you do that, then we're good. And she does that every time she rearranges the furniture. So we've had to compromise. But you see, God honors our efforts toward biblical unity, doesn't he? In fact, he will take that compromise, that sacrifice, and he'll build something beautiful out of it. So we see in verse 1 the goodness of unity. And as we move into verse 2, it speaks of the source of unity. Let's read verse 2 and the first part of verse 3 again. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. So where does this good and pleasant unity come from? David answers that question by giving us two images. Living together in unity is like oil poured on Aaron's head and like the dew of Hermon falling on Mount Zion. Notice there is a downward movement in both of those images. In both of those images, the blessing comes from above, pours down on us. It starts high, then moves downward. Both of these images point to the true source of unity, the Lord Himself. It's a gift of His grace. So let's take a closer look at these two images. First of all, David writes that dwelling together in unity is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron. And this is one of those biblical images that grows and expands in meaning with every word and every phrase. So let's start with the word oil. Oil was a valued commodity in ancient Israel. Not for making gasoline and fuel like today, but for cooking, for healing, for moisturizing, for refreshing. So I think to compare unity to oil is a good thing. But the unity that comes from God is not just like any oil. Notice it is precious oil. And the word translated precious here is the same word that was translated good back in verse 1. So this isn't just any old oil. It's precious oil. It's excellent. It's agreeable and beneficial. The verse continues, it's like the precious oil poured on the head. So this is a picture of hospitality and refreshment. Today, when you invite someone to your home, you might offer them a nice, refreshing drink, a hot cup of coffee. In ancient Israel, you might offer them something to drink, but you would also offer them oil for their head because the climate was so hot and dusty, and oil on the head would be a welcomed relief. We find a similar image of hospitality and refreshing in Psalm 23, verse 5. You, Lord, anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. But this is not just precious oil poured on the head, it is also running down on the beard. In other words, this is not just a little bit of oil. It is oil that is poured out richly, so fully that it even runs down on the person's beard. The host is generous and gracious. And notice the phrase running down appears twice in verse 2. The same Hebrew word is used a third time in verse 3, where it's translated as descending. In other words, God's blessing flowed down to us from heaven. So Christian fellowship is like oil poured on the head, running down on the beard. It's precious. It's refreshing. It's a gift from God, and God is generous with His gift. But there's more. Notice that this is Aaron's head and Aaron's beard. Well, Aaron was the high priest, right? And God required that a very special oil be used in anointing the priest. You can find the recipe in Exodus chapter 30. It was a special blend of olive oil, myrrh, cinnamon, cassia, and cane. It was a special formula with a special ingredient, and it was only to be used in anointing the priest and the sacred objects in the temple. And I believe the fact that it is a special and sacred oil that is used points to the special fellowship among Christians. Like this precious and special oil, Christian fellowship is unique. It's sacred because it's fellowship united around Christ. That's another reason I believe why Aaron is pictured here. You see, Aaron, the high priest, points to Jesus, the anointed one, our great high priest, the one that we are united around. Well, notice the oil is poured not just on Aaron's beard and running down, not just on his head and running down on his beard, but it also runs down on the edge or the collar of his garment. Why is that significant? Because the names of the 12 tribes of Israel were sewn into the collar of the high priest's robe. So the robe image here points to us as the people of God. The good blessing of Christian unity flows from the head to the beard to the collar of the robe. An image of the whole body of Christ united together with Jesus as the head of the body. Oh, the sweetness of the Spirit-anointed fellowship in the church. Well, David uses a second image of dwelling in unity. Look at the first part of verse 3 again. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. So let's talk about this image. Mount Hermon is located in the northern part of Israel. It is the highest mountain in Israel, over 9,000 feet above sea level. It is known for its cool nights, heavy dew, and the winter, it's covered with snow. And in the area around it, in the summertime, it stays lush and green. Now compare that to Mount Zion. Mount Zion is located in the southern part of Israel. It is much smaller in size, only 2,400 feet above sea level. Unlike Hermon, there is very little dew, rain, or moisture in Jerusalem in the summer months. So we have two very different images here. Hermon to the north, Zion to the south. Hermon towering over the mountains, and Zion just a part of the mountain range. Mount Hermon, cool and refreshing. Mount Zion, hot and dry. What an amazing image of the dew of Mount Hermon falling onto Mount Zion. And that's exactly what happens with Christian fellowship. As I mentioned earlier, the word translated descending here is the same word we saw for running down in verse 2. So once again, we have an image that reminds us that God's blessing of unity comes down to us from heaven, something we receive from the Lord. So apart from God's blessing, we're like the dirty, dry, arid land of Mount Zion, but God sends His blessing down on us like the refreshing dew of Mount Hermon. And here's an interesting observation. The image of Hermon and Zion being united by the dew reminds us that in the church, we're all one. It's a unity of the great and the small, the high and the low, the north and the south, the rich and the poor brought together. It's a unity that crosses all human boundaries and divisions. As Galatians 3:28 says, there's neither Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, for we're all one in Christ Jesus. So what do these two images teach us about dwelling together in unity? Well, the oil running down and the dew of Hermon descending tell us that the unity we enjoy flows down from the Father and touches every single believer. But they also speak of the refreshing aspect of walking in unity, the soothing scent of the oil and the cooling moisture of the dew. Here, I think, is the application. There are many things we can find commonality in: sports, hobbies, careers, education. We can enjoy unity and fellowship with others, believers and unbelievers, around the things that we have in common. But that unity, that fellowship, is nothing compared to the unity and fellowship that we enjoy because of our common goal of worshiping and serving Jesus. So here's something really important. In order for us to have unity with each other, we must first have unity with Jesus. If we are out of step with Him, we will be out of step with each other, right? So God is the source of unity, therefore it's good and pleasant. And that brings us to the third characteristic, the blessing of unity. Look at the end of verse 3. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Several truths in those few little words. First, notice the word there. The psalmist stresses that there, where brethren dwell in unity, the Lord orders His blessing. And this blessing is the eternal favor that God pours out on His people. Secondly, there is also in that verse where God commands life forevermore, which speaks of the full abundant life that Jesus spoke of in John chapter 10. Notice the word commanded. Where believers live in unity, God orders His blessings to be there. So we can rest assured that if God orders it, if He commands it, it's going to happen, right? Thirdly, that phrase, life forevermore, tells us that dwelling in unity here on earth is just a foretaste of heaven. The fellowship we experience through the Holy Spirit here on earth, as beautiful as it is only a preview of the perfect fellowship that we'll enjoy together in heaven. So there is a special place that God has promised to put His blessing, and that is where believers are living together in unity. Here that place is pictured as Mount Zion, which we've seen is a symbol of the place where God meets with His people. In other words, when we meet with God in worship, we will experience this unity that David speaks of, and God will send His blessing. The more we focus on Him, the greater our unity will be. So worship and unity and blessing are all tied up together. The book of Acts describes the beauty and the effectiveness of unity in the early church. We read in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They broke bread from house to house, ate together with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. What a beautiful picture of unity. But unfortunately, many believers today do not realize the importance of unity in the church. Well, here's a good illustration as to why it is important. A dad had three argumentative sons. They rarely got along, always quarreling. So one day he called them together and he gave a stick to the strongest of the three sons and told him to break it. The son did that with ease. Then he gave him two sticks, told the son to break it, and he did. Then he increased the amount of sticks to three, four, five, six, until the son was having to strain to break the sticks, and finally, as the number of sticks increased, had to admit defeat. The dad taught his sons a valuable lesson that day. There is strength in unity. He taught them that a house divided cannot stand, that anyone can overthrow us one by one, but if we stand together in unity with combined strength, we will not easily be defeated. Just as that is true in our physical family, it's true in our church family. There's great strength in unity. With unity and the combined strength that it provides, we'll be able to resist and overcome our greatest enemy, Satan. And believe me, he will do all that he can to create disharmony among God's people. Sadly, he is often successful in damaging the testimony of the church. That's why unity is important. But we need to understand that the unity that David speaks of in today's text, the unity that Luke writes about in Acts chapter 2, is not limited to the four walls of this church building. Yes, we desire and should strive and work toward unity in the local church. It will not be effective without it. But the unity that David and Luke speak of goes far beyond the walls of the church and into our neighborhoods, our workplaces, our businesses, our schools, or wherever we do life. Now, once again, this is not something that we can do apart from Christ. It is not something that we can manufacture or make happen on our own. Only as we focus on Jesus, the head of the body, only as we yield to the Holy Spirit within us can we know the sweet goodness of living together in unity. And even though Christian unity is a gift from God, we still need to live it out in our lives, don't we? As Ephesians 4, verse 3 says, we need to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. What does that mean? That means that our love for Jesus and for each other must prevail over the things that cause disunity. It means that we're to love those who at times are difficult to love. That we're to seek and to extend forgiveness. That we're to work toward reconciliation and restoration. Listen to verse 1 again. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. So it's good for us, it's pleasing to God, it's a reflection of our relationship with Him, and it's a picture of hope and peace in a world of division and despair. So in closing, let's consider these questions regarding our relationships inside and outside the church? Is there anyone that we are not in harmony with? Is there anyone that needs a demonstration of our love toward them, even though they're difficult to love at this time? Is there anyone that we need to seek forgiveness from? Is there anyone that we need to extend forgiveness to? Is there any relationship that needs to be reconciled and restored in our life? Let's pray together. Father God, we are so